the States man only got it from a relation. And here he is, Jack Benny.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hello again, this is Jack Benny talking, and it's sure swell to be here. Yes, Don, here we are in Vancouver. What a beautiful city.
It certainly is, Jack. It's so picturesque with its snow-capped mountains right across the harbor.
And that Vancouver Hotel, did you ever see anything so luxurious?
Perhaps you won't believe it until you try it. But once you've played the Hammond chord organ, you'll be convinced. Anyone can play a tune in mere minutes by following these simple steps. One finger of the right hand plays the melody.
Yes, it's always a thrill to hear the full, rich sound of organ music. It's an even greater thrill to create those sounds yourself. Whether you're a beginner playing simple one-finger melodies or are more advanced playing full chords, there's a certain feeling of accomplishment that wells up within you when you make the organ respond to your innermost musical wishes. The real charm of playing the organ lies in the fact that easy tunes sound almost professional. 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 Easy tunes sound almost professional.
Birds and a Certain Girl. Welcome to the Generation Exploitation Podcast. My name is Cliff Nesteroff. On the show today, lots of good stuff. Phyllis Diller, Red Fox, George Formby. We're also going to listen to a record by Friar Daniel A. Lord titled So I'm Dying of Cancer from 1960. We'll listen to some cuts from that and lots of other fun goodies.
Thank you very, very much, and I'm delighted that you came to the Hungry Eye tonight. Because it takes a lot of courage to come into a joint that's this filthy. Let me give you one one word of warning. Don't ever eat here. I ordered a steak rare. Are you ready? With a little care, this thing could have recovered. But I drank it. But we still have a lot of fun in here every night. One woman nearly died laughing. But I'm all right now. But I, you know, I want to, in closing, I want to tell you about a fabulous new product that I'm frankly touting. I'm a great believer in cosmetics. In fact, let me tell you how much of a believer. I'm a midget. I believe it, you know. When I wash what I wear off at night and go to bed, I put a drape over that glass in the mirror, bathroom. Mirror in the bed. You know what I mean. And when I get up in the morning, I take peeks. That's the way I play. You know what keeps me humble? Mirrors. That's right. And I want to tell you about the world's most fabulous new cosmetic. It's a new odor under dearmament. And the name of it is and of course backwards that it is so great. It works on an entirely different principle. Doesn't kill the odor at all. Just makes you invisible and nobody can figure out who smells.
Got the time. If you got the money, honey, I've got the time. We'll go honky-tonking and we'll have a time. Bring along your Cadillac, leave my old wreck behind. If you got the money, honey, I've got the time.
When I met Bang, he was making big money, about an inch and a half too long. Talk about money. The only time he picks up a tab is to open a can of beer. On Valentine's Day, he sent me a heart of celery. He throws money around like it was an anvil. Fang is so cheap. He sent away for 400 pounds of steel wool. He's gonna knit a Volkswagen.
If you've got the money, honey, I've got the time. We'll go honky-tonking and we'll have a time. We make all the night spots, dance, romance, and dine. If you've got the money, honey, I've got the time. You got the money, honey. I've got the time.
All right now, Jennifer, don't get impatient. We'll pile the hay on the hay wagon. Okay now, giddy up, Jennifer. We'll drive through the meadow from pile to pile of hay and load it high on the wagon. Say, have you your make-believe pitchforks ready? Have you? Well, here's the first pile of hay now. We'll dig the pitchfork deep into the hay. Now get as much hay as you can on the pitchfork and lift it up high onto the wagon. Now dig, lift, all together.
Mr. Wu no longer has a laundry. Sad to say the business was a flop. He shouted, what a hope, as he chewed a bar of soap and then put up the shutters of the shop. said Mr. Wu, what shall I do? And Mr. Wu's a window cleaner now. The laundry, it didn't pay. Now there's no clean collars down Limehouse Way. When he goes out working, interest he arouses. Polishing the windows with worn-out ladies' blouses. He wears a pair of Caminics to save his Sunday trousers. 'Cause Mr. Wu's a window cleaner now. Now little Chinese wifey each day is getting madder. Tearing her silk stockings, her husband makes her sadder. All day long he wants to keep on running up the ladder. 'Cause Mr. Wu's a window cleaner now. And a one lung two, he had his eyesight tested, a most important matter. Through a bathroom window, a lady he peeps at her. His eyesight's getting better, but his nose is getting flatter. 'Cause Mr. Wu's a window cleaner now. Said Mr. Wu, what shall I do? And Mr. Wu's a window cleaner now. The laundry, it didn't pay. No clean collars down Limehouse Way. Customers he's washed for now are in bad humours. They feel quite neglected, and I've heard the rumours. Lots of girls on winter nights go out without their garters. 'Cause Mr. Wu's a window cleaner now. Men they come and go, where they go to I don't know. All I know it's clear, I'm still here. I'm the husband of the wife of Mr. Wu. She feeds me up with nice chop suey too. A charm she has a lot, don't know exactly what. It's just a little something that the others haven't got. Our honeymoon in China was a do. We visited pagodas quite a few. Said a geisha, you look sporty, but I said I daren't be naughty. I'm the husband of the wife of Mr. Wu. I'm the husband of the wife of Mr. Wu. She feeds me up with nice chop suey too. Of charm she has a lot, don't know exactly what. It's just a little something that the others haven't got. Said the geisha serving tea me like you. A tasty dish she brought and made love to. Then I said you'd better stop quick, you can't meddle with me chopstick. I'm the husband of the wife of Mr. Wu. Of Mr. Wu. She feeds me up with nice chop suey too. Of charm she has a lot, don't know exactly what. It's just as little something that the others haven't got. In the market square of things I bought a few. They tried to sell me silk pajamas too. I said though I might admire them, I don't think I shall require them. I'm the husband of the wife of Mr. Wu. I'm the husband of the wife of Mr. Wu. She feeds me up with nice chop suey too. Of charm she has a lot, don't know exactly what. It's just a little something that the others haven't got. Then a girl said, I intend to marry you. Of little chinks will soon have 22. I said, that's a proposition, but I'm no Chinese magician. I'm the husband of the wife of Mr. Wu.
George Formby with I'm the husband of the wife of Mr. Wu. Kind of racist, isn't it? And before that, it's sort of sister song, Mr. Wu's A Window Cleaner Now. Both originally released as 78s, but those tracks off the Capitol Records LP, which reissued them, When I'm Cleaning Windows. George Formby, a music hall and vaudeville-type star. Formby made several comedy films in the 1930s and 40s in his native Britain. He was always popular and actually continues to be. His stuff is always in constant reissue form. Before we listen to George Formby, we heard a clip off a Captain Kangaroo record titled Captain Kangaroo Songs and Dances. He was scooping hay in that clip. And we heard Phyllis Diller singing the Lefty Frizzell penned country and western classic, If You've Got the Money, off her Columbia LP, Born to Sing. Nothing but Phyllis Diller singing on that LP. And prior to that, we heard some Phyllis Diller stand-up off the Verve record, The Beautiful Phyllis Diller.
First recording, remember, the father waited for his little son's question. In this scene, the mother herself leads into the subject of menstruation with her daughter, who might be 10 or 11, perhaps older. The obvious reason is to make sure that a girl knows both the natural and the spiritual significance of this function before it happens. Parents are the best judges of the proper time and place for such instruction, but a good rule to follow here is better a year too early than 1 week too late. Notice how the mother starts with changes her daughter can see, the outer growth of her body, and then the inner maturing that comes with adolescence. There's an obvious bond of confidence between mother and child, which is essential in all sex instruction. Notice, too, how both the naturalness and holiness of the menstrual function are explained by the mother. There's an emotional overtone here, too, which contrasts with the more matter-of-fact presentation to boys. Here again, for convenience, the subject matter of perhaps two or more talks has been compressed into a single scene.
Oh, let's see now. Fold in the whites.
Hi, Mother.
Oh, hi, dear.
What you making, Kate?
Yum. Oh, Betty O'Brien, get your fingers out of my ice in this minute. And how many times have I told you to hang up your coat and put your books in your room when you come in?
What's it worth to you, Mums? Oh, I'm sorry, Mums. I'll be good, really. What were you going to tell me?
Oh, nothing much, honey. It's just that, well, with all these changes you can see, getting taller and your breasts beginning to grow and so on, there are other changes going on inside of you.
Inside of me? What kind of changes, Mother?
Well, do you remember my telling you when you were little how babies grow inside their mothers?
Mm-hmm.
Well, from now on, through your teens, the wonderful machinery inside your body that will hold and nourish a baby when you're grown up, if God calls you to the married state, that machinery will begin to develop.
Really, Mom? Well, tell me about it.
Well, to begin with, every woman has two small organs within her body called ovaries. Now, each month, one of them produces a tiny egg, or ovum, as the doctors call it.
Is that the egg the baby grows from? The one you told me about when I was little?
That's right, dear. You see, God knew that when he did will to create a new little soul inside the mother, the tiny body would have to be nourished so it would develop from a little egg to a full-grown baby.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so wonderfully has God designed our bodies that each month, as one of the ovaries produces an egg, blood is accumulated in the lining of the uterus, a womb.
That's where you carry your baby, isn't it?
Yes, dear. Now, when a woman is married, the seed from the father, which I told you about, is planted inside the mother's egg. And this egg fastens itself to the wall of the uterus. That is what the blood is for, to nourish the tiny body until it is ready to be born.
Oh. Well, that's wonderful, isn't it, Mother? And does that happen every month, even before a girl is married?
That's right, honey. It's part of the whole complicated process that the doctors call ovulation and menstruation.
But does the blood come anyway? Even when there's no baby to need it?
That's right, dear. But it doesn't stay there in the uterus when there's no baby. You see, when the egg is not fertilized, it dissolves and the blood simply flows out again through the vagina. Then the whole process starts all over again the following month.
You mean you sort of bleed?
Well, not exactly, dear. You see, the blood is simply stored up for a particular purpose, and when it's not needed, it just passes off. It's a perfectly natural bodily function, and a holy one, really, when you consider that it's part of God's wonderful plan for creating new little souls in his own image.
Oh.
You see, darling, that's why I'm telling you now about those changes that are beginning to take place in your own body. Someday, maybe soon, or may not be for a year or so, you'll have your first period, as it's called. Normally it lasts 3 to 5 days, but at first it may be only a trace and may not come regularly every month.
But, Mother, when it happens, what'll I do?
Well, when it does, dear, just come and tell me, and I'll show you how to take care of yourself and your clothes. The thing to remember always is that this is a natural thing, a holy thing. It means that God is preparing your body for the wonderful calling of motherhood, if that is his plan for you.
I understand, Mother. And thanks for being so sweet.
All right, now, darling, get those books picked up before your father gets home, or he's likely to forget you're growing up and use the slipper on you.
Oh, I'm on my way, Mums. But first, how about licking the bowl?
Betty O'Brien, I wonder if you'll ever really grow up.
countdown. 10 seconds to firing.
9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The age of space is here. And now, RCA Victor brings you sound in space. Stereophonic sound. Now hearing is conventional high fidelity sound. But wait, there's something new and better. It's the miracle of stereophonic sound by RCA Victor. You'll hear the difference. First, conventional hi-fi, then in a moment, stereo. Nature, sounds exist in space. And with stereophonic recording, the feeling of space and perspective is brought to you. For example, one moment we can be at the side of an indoor swimming pool. And in the next moment, we're trackside at the famous 500-mile speedway race. Another feature of stereophonic sound enables you to locate the instruments in the orchestra.
I've got enough problems. My car broke down, you know. I got nothing but trouble. And every Sunday, I take my family out for a push. I'll tell you what, my car, when I'm on a road, just once, like to see someone pass me without pointing to one of my tires. And I went out last week, I bought the perfect second car, a tow truck. I always get lost, too. When I get lost, I'm lost. Other people get lost. They get direction. Go straight ahead. Follow your nose. Just follow your nose. No one ever tells me to follow my nose. I always hear things like, you're way off. Not in this town. Then they give me directions. I get lost all over again. Go to your sixth light, make a right turn. As soon as I pull away, I'm in trouble. I never know if I should count the first light. Or else they tell me to go straight ahead. Chemistry, go straight ahead. As soon as I pull away, I come to a fork in the road. Didn't happen to you, too? What can I tell you? The last time my wife drove the car, she cracked it up too, went into a tree. Told me it wasn't her fault. She blew the horn. Well, the first time she drove the car, she hit a deer. It was in a zoo. Well, my wife isn't too smart, you know. One night she went out, some guy stole the car. I said to her, you see what he looked like? She told me she got the license plate number. Man, she's not smart at all. I told her our kid is spoiled. She told me a lot of kids smell that way. Nah, she's not smart at all. You kid, what, the second time she got pregnant, she thought we had to get married again, you know? Boy, I really got stuck last week. I bought a new book, 100 Ways to Make Love. I ended up in Traction. It was a misprint. I mean, there's always something. My wife's father, he just moved in too, has electronic pacemaker. Every time he sneezes, the garage door opens. I mean, today's been a terrible day. Got up this morning, picked up my shirt, a button fell off. A briefcase, the handle fell off. I'm afraid to go to the bathroom. I mean, things happen to me you wouldn't believe. It's a weird feeling to be standing in a men's room, you see your home phone up on the wall. I mean, another works out. Last night, a hooker told me she had a headache. You don't know what a hooker is either, huh? Got you girls over here. You know what a hooker is? Oh, you are hookers. Oh, good luck to you. I'm just kidding, joshing around. Are you? I got on you, sir. Take your hand off your peepee. You go blind that way. That's why you're not laughing. You're too busy down there. I can say hooker and pee-pee. I'm not on television. It's a nightclub. You can say whatever you want here. Son of a bitch, bullshit, bastard. I don't know. What the hell am I sweating for? It's my joint. I got the job. I don't know what I'm doing here. You know what I mean? All right. It's just a hobby. That's all a hobby. I work there for laughs, you know. I make my money in my regular job. I sing the national anthem at cockfights. What do you say we bust up this joint, huh? All right, next week, after the fire. Now, when I started in the show, I worked only tough places, places like Fonzo's Knuckle Room, Aldo's, formerly Vito's, formerly Nunzio's. Ooh, that was a tough one, Nunzio's tough. I sat down to eat in a menu that had broken leg of lamb. Nunzio, he was tough. And then he said to me, kid, you want to go hunting? I said, okay, I'm game. And he shot me. And show business is tough, too. I'll tell you that. Boy, what a racket. You don't know what you go through in show business. You're kidding, show business. You know, sometimes I think back of all the women I had to sleep with to get where I got. You know that? It's a tough racket. You kidding? Last week my fan club broke up. The guy died. In fact, I met a new agent last week, a woman agent. She asked me if I had an 8x10. I told her if I had an 8x10, I wouldn't have to work anymore. And I never got girls. When I was a kid in show business, I never got girls. One time I took out a college girl. She majored in business psychology. For $100, she'll blow your mind. I can't make it with chicks. You go out of it now, you're going to start conversations. Hi, where are you from? Really? What sign are you? I can't do it. To me, the 8 hours of bullshit ain't worth the 8 seconds. I can't make the whole trip, I tell you.
Of course you know who that is. Jack Roy. What? Who? Yeah, the late Rodney Dangerfield, who had initially failed at the stand-up comedy field under the moniker Jack Roy, and then took about 9 years off to sell aluminum siding, and then returned in the early 60s under the name we now know. This is off his bestseller, Rodney Dangerfield, No Respect, from 1980 on Casablanca Records. His first LP was actually put out in the late 60s on Decca Records, and it is highly collectible today, and I don't own it, otherwise I would have played that. Before that, we heard stuff from a stereophonic sound sampler called Sounds in Space on RCA Victor, narrated by the inventor of word jazz, cult icon Ken Nordine. Before that, we heard some Mod Garage from the Moquettes, M-O-Q-U-E-T-T-E-S, the Moquettes, and their song Right String Baby, But the Wrong Yo-Yo, taken off the Mickey Most compilation English In-Groups, which features some great and obscure cuts from bands like The Cymbals and The Cherokees, the Moquettes. And before that, a Christian LP from Edmonton, Alberta, that I've played some cuts from on the show before, but never this cut, titled Menstruation. For some reason, it has several titles on it, several subtitles, and when you read them throughout, it doesn't make any sense. This record is called, well, it's kind of hard to tell what it's called. It's got so many titles and subtitles, one of which is For Daily Living 8, and then This Program, You and Your Children, and then another title, Sex Instruction for Your Children. All put out by a record label with a rather Orwellian name, Truth Tapes and Records. Appears to be from around 1960 or so. And at the start of this long extended set, we heard some Moog synthesizer music from a guy named Rod Hunter off his London Records LP simply titled Moog, and his cover of Apache. Apache? 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 Thank you.
là-bas, ouais, sur la terre. On pourra facilement retrouver la paix. Il n'est pas trop tard, faudrait bien y penser. Si l'on veut que notre sort soit assuré,
ladies and gentlemen, live in Las Vegas, the one and only Red Fox.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I noticed some of you didn't applaud. I hope your dog dies. This is Las Vegas, Nevada, friends. You might as well relax because your old phony neighbors aren't here. And when you get home, lie to them. Tell them you won $50,000 or $60,000. They'll worry to death. They'll look out the window every day then see what you bought. Here they come now. You know them old jive neighbors. It's funny how people are. I see you laying out by the pools trying to get this brown. I'm in the room with the shade down. My name is Fox. F-O-X-X. And I don't belong to no group. Every time people see X, they think you belong to a group. Was Francis X Bushman a Muslim? Muslim, I don't join no group, especially those that don't eat pork. There's some pork eaters going to heaven, too. That's right, what did a hog ever do to you? If it don't be for the hog, we'd be swimming in slop tonight. Been a lot of slop since the year of one. Think about that. That's right, a group of slop has been exchanged. Somebody got to eat it. Takes a lot of heart to eat slop. Let's give those hogs a hand when you get a chance. I mean it. Some people won't eat a pig snoot because they look at it as a snoot. But I don't. I just say, oh, there's two holes in the meat. I see you laughing in your hand. I noticed everybody. I wanted to be a politician, but I just couldn't take stuff from folks. I wanted to be president. I dreamed of it as a youngster. I could see it. Red Fox, president of the United States, sitting there in the Black House. Don't laugh. When you're president, you can paint like you want to. They have a lot of different sneezes. They have the chocolate sneeze, sounds like this. Hershey! Then they have the inquisitive sneeze. Who is she? Then they have the barnyard sneeze. Horse! I guess you never lived on a farm, huh? Don't you remember corn cobs? Yes, everybody in the country used to live in a big house, and out from the big house, they had a little shed. Call that the shed house. My my brother's in the shed house one day, and he had a long pole, and he was digging down into, he was trying to reach it for. I said, what you doing digging down in there? He said, I dropped my coat down there. I said, you don't want that old coat now, do you? He said, no, damn the coat, my lunch is in the pocket. I'm here to tell you, folks, it's hard to beat that saran wrap. No, and in the corner of the shed house, they usually had a bushel full of corn cobs. This was 100 years before Z. No, really, corn cobs. We had them in Tennessee, brown ones and white ones. Use a brown one, then use a white one to see if you need another brown one. Could you... That's it. Don't choke yourself. Just laugh right out. To hell with your neighbors. They're not going to die for you. So why let them tell you when you can laugh? A lot of people come out with friends and they won't know. How can he say, up your prude crock? That's what I say. You got to live your own life. You ever been to a funeral and hear them old ladies lie? So the guy be laying in the coffin. An old lady walk up the coffin and said, oh, Lord, don't take him. Take me. Now, why didn't she say that when he was just sick?
Good afternoon, everyone. I have known Father Daniel Lord for nearly 30 years, but I've always admired him and wondered at his tremendous talent. A devout priest of the Jesuit order and a man who could have been a national figure as a producer of theatrical enterprises on Broadway or in Hollywood. A little over 5 months ago, word came from a St. Louis hospital that Father Lord had cancer of the lung with no hope for his recovery. It's difficult to know just how to begin this interview. But if Father Lord's understanding, if his attitude and philosophy toward his situation will help someone else who is similarly afflicted, then this half hour should be worthwhile. Father Lord, I'm sitting here watching the clock, and we have 28 minutes, and I'll just hold up my hand as the clock goes around.
I'm glad you're watching the clock, because I've stopped watching the clock for quite a while now. You see, you begin to think in terms of unlimited time and unlimited eternity.
When did you first get this news from the hospital that you had cancer of the lung and that, well, you just wasn't any way to fix it?
I got that news in January. I have had, for the last few years, two very wonderful doctors, and they were treating me for what I thought was something else. Then they walked into the room one day after a series of examinations, and I could see from the look in their eye they wanted to break something to me, you know, a little funereal. So I told them to go right ahead, that it wasn't going to be any surprise to me, and they told me. The joke of it is that I've had cancer for about 6 years. I had cancer of the bladder, and I didn't know I had it. They were able to take care of that and keep me in perfect working order for 6 years, so when this next one came along, the one that the people are interested in, it was really a secondary cancer and not the primary. Yes. I have had it for 6 years.
Of course, you have another lung.
Yes, but this isn't both of them.
This isn't both?
Oh, yes. I've got both covered.
Are we having fun yet? Oh, what? What joy, what laughter on the Generation Exploitation Podcast and Laugh Tracks, a show about comedy, talking about somebody's cancer. That LP that we just heard that exchange on was by Daniel A. Lord. And the name of this LP has probably the most outrageous name of any record I've ever seen in my life. The name of the record is So I'm Dying of Cancer! Exclamation point. And this album, put out in Montreal on a Canadian record label, a Genesian Mem record. And that's from probably, I would guess, around 1959 or so. Read to you some of the liner notes from the back of So I'm Dying of Cancer. Mr. George Cushing, vice president of station WJR Detroit, after learning that Father Lord had an incurable cancer, interviewed the famous Jesuit over the air in the hope that his acceptance of the dread disease, his, quote, philosophy of life, unquote, might bring consolation and inspiration to others similarly affected. Following the news of Father Lord's death, station CJAD Montreal rebroadcast the interview. To Mr. J. Arthur DuPont, general manager, CJAD Montreal, Mr. George Cushing, vice president, WJR Detroit. The record is dedicated. So I'm Dying of Cancer, Father Daniel A. Lord. Before that, we heard from Red Fox off his Warner Brothers LP from the early 70s called Live in Las Vegas. Pretty straightforward, self-explanatory. And we started this set off with César et les Romains, La Paix, off their album 12 plus 5. César et les Romains were a Quebecois garage rock group from the mid-1960s who dressed up in togas and sandals and dressed Roman style. Just a reminder, you're listening to the Generation Exploitation Podcast and Laugh Tracks, a show about comedy here on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. My name is Cliff Nesteroff.
For cool summer splashing fun, get Water Wiggle. It's fun, it wiggles, it's wild, you bet. Just try to catch it and not get wet. Water Wiggle, it's a crazy way to cool off. Slide into exciting summer fun with the Jet Spray Slip and Slide, the sliding, slippery way to cool off. Hundreds of water jets give you fun action. Slip and Slide and Water Wiggle, sold separately. From Wemo.
KTEL's Album of the Year stars all original hits. Get into ARS.
I am so into you.
Al Stewart.
The Year of the Cat.
Mary McGregor.
Born Between Two Lovers.
William Bell, Casey and the Sunshine Band, and 10cc.
Things we do for love.
IMAX Blues Band, Thelma Houston, Hall & Oates.
Give her bitch, girl.
Stars from KTEL, coming on strong.
Anyway.
Hits, 20 original stars, only $3.99.
Available at Peoples, Woolworths, and Grants.
America remembers Red Sovine.
The first time that I heard the song Teddy Bear, it reminded me of my little boy. It brought tears to my eyes.
The OCB was blaring away on Channel 19.
For my money, there's no better songs and no better singing than Red Sovine. He was the best.
And he said, Breaker 19, is anyone there? Come on back, truckers, and talk to Teddy Bear.
America remembers Red Sovine.
When Red Sovine died, America and I lost a good friend. But thank goodness we still got his music.
My mom is a big fan of Red Savant, and we listen to his music all the time.
Working with Red was a real joy, and nobody could handle a song quite like he could.
My all-time favorite Red Savant song is Giddy Up Go.
Red Savant was taken from us in a tragic car crash in 1980, but he leaves behind a lasting memory and music on this new two-record collection of his biggest hits.
Red Savant occupied a very special place in the hearts of the American truck driver and in the hearts of American country music fans. Red's gone now, but his music lives on.
He stuck out his hand and said with a grin, Big Joe's the name. I told him mine. And he said the name of my rig is Phantom 309.
Well, in my opinion, Red Savant is truly the heart and soul of country music.
Red Savant's as much a part of trucking as CB and hot coffee.
Here's a beautiful new tribute to the great Red Savant on two LPs and on cassette or 8-track tape and all new compact discs. Stand by to order.
God ride with you. 10-4. And goodbye.
To order COD or credit card, call toll-free 1-800-228-1188. That's 1-800-228-1188. Or save COD and handling charges by sending $12.95 for two LPs, one 8-track, one cassette, or compact disc to Red Solvine, 3015 East Reed Road, Greenville, Mississippi.
Hey, new Kellogg's OKs. Note the improvement? They put a bear on the box, which improved it so much. They decided to improve the cereal, too.
Oh, come on, Yogi. Let's be serious about Kellogg's new OKs, okay?
Like the space bears say, hey, okay.
Well, first, how nutritious are Kellogg's new OKs? Well, they're made from oats. And of all grains, oats are the richest in proteins. And rich in other bodybuilding essentials, too. In fact, some people consider it their duty to eat oats. Yogi. But now, with a really delicious oat cereal like Kellogg's OKs around, people can have their oats and enjoy them, too. Especially Kellogg's new OKs. For Kellogg's new OKs are crispier...
Cripsier
and toastier, and therefore tastier than ever. So for the best in oats, get Kellogg's new OKs.
The one with the bear on the box. Suitable for Freeman.
Barney, will you get this thing fixed while I'm still young?
Just one little second, Fred, then I'll have it. There.
Okay, let's spin a disc.
They're playing our song, Fred.
Yeah, pal, and you've earned yourself a Winston.
Yeah, Winston. That's the one with filter blend up front.
Sure, that's the big difference, Barney. Winston picks out special tobaccos.
Then treats them their own special way.
If you're looking for a filter cigarette that really delivers taste,
you ought to smoke Winston.
You ought to smoke Winston.
That's what he said. That's what he said.
And as I was saying, Winston tastes good.
Like a cigarette should. Like a cigarette should. Like a cigarette should.
Series of old commercials there, the Flintstones hawking Winston cigarettes, Yogi Bear hawking OK cereals. We also heard some K-Tel ads and a America Remembers Red Savant commercial. That one was my favorite. That does it for this episode of the Generation Exploitation Podcast and Laugh Tracks, a show about comedy on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. My name is Cliff Nesteroff, and I'll talk to you soon.